Please stand for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament lesson is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2. The prayer of Hannah. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." Shall we pray? Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 80. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve with him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and ask you to give us your Spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
The angel Gabriel had said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How would this be, since I am a virgin?" And he answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to thy word." And then the angel departed from her. And so, as we saw last week, that was the angel Gabriel's annunciation to Mary. God was bringing about the new creation through the incarnation of his own eternal Son in the womb of a lowly peasant girl in Galilee. Mary, the one who was full of grace, for the Lord was with her. Now we will see that the one who was full of grace, for the Lord was with her, is the one who is blessed among women, because blessed is the fruit of her womb, Jesus. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," Mary said, "let it be done to me according to thy word." And so Mary's assent to the word of God through his angel, as we saw last week, is the reversal of the fall in the Garden of Eden, when the first Eve had assented to the words of the angel of death, and thereby brought forth the fruit of death to Adam, the first man. The first woman, called Eve, which means living, we are told in Genesis, she was called Eve, which means living, because, as we are told there, she became the mother of the living. And yet, she became the mother of all those who were dead while living, because she became the mother of all fallen humanity. Now, a new humanity is being created in the new man, the new Adam, the last Adam, the Son of God himself. And so the new Eve, as she assents to the word of God through the angel of God, is bringing forth from her womb not death, but the incarnate word of God, the very fruit of eternal life. And so after the Annunciation, we read here in our text that in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now, the previous section of the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, which we covered last week as we began our three-part series on Advent, that section is called the Annunciation, again, when the angel came to Mary. Now, as Mary visits Elizabeth, this section, Mary and Elizabeth visiting together, is called traditionally called the Visitation. And we will also cover today the following two sections, traditionally called the Magnificat and the Benedictus. Now, earlier the angel had said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." Now it is Elizabeth, as she is filled with the Holy Spirit, who cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, Luke tells us that Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, were both, as he says, righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And so she, Elizabeth, now who had pursued righteousness, is filled with the Holy Spirit, who through her declares the blessings of the new creation. Blessed is the mother, and blessed is the Son. Blessed is the mother of God, and blessed is the Son of God, who himself is God eternal. Blessed are you among women, humble Mary, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, our Lord God, Jesus. So Mary is blessed as the one who brings forth the word of God from her womb. As Mary visits Elizabeth, the narrative, as we began to see last week, continues to compare and to contrast two miraculous conceptions of John the Baptist and of Jesus. Now, Elizabeth was the godly old barren woman, whereas Mary was the godly young virgin. Elizabeth's conception of a son in her old age was miraculous, but even more miraculous was the conception of the Son of God in a womb of a virgin. Now, Elizabeth's son will be the last prophet of the old covenant, the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord. And so he will be the one who is actually closing an age. But Mary's son will be the fulfillment of God's promises, the one who brings the new age and the new covenant and the new humanity. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus, and yet, to use an Old Testament imagery, the elder shall serve the younger, because the provisional old age and the old covenant is passing away, and the new covenant is dawning in the person of God himself, incarnate in the womb of a virgin. And Elizabeth says, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now, notice here that Elizabeth refers to Jesus, who is in the womb of Mary, as her own Lord. And yet, at that time, Jesus was but an embryo, a couple of weeks old in the womb of Mary. And so as life begins in conception, that embryo in Mary's womb, even before he had even developed any limbs, was nothing less than God incarnate, who had taken humanity upon himself and redeemed it from conception. He was already Elizabeth's Lord in the flesh, even as he was still in the womb. And so John the Baptist, the six-month-old baby in Elizabeth's womb, himself also filled with the Holy Spirit, leaps for joy at the presence of God incarnate in Mary's womb. God is anointing his own forerunner even in Elizabeth's womb, because God's grace and regeneration are not limited to those who are able to have cognitive abilities to make a profession of faith. God's grace is sovereign and is able to fill even babies in the womb. And so he fills the forerunner with the Spirit, and he leaps for joy in the presence of his Lord. And Elizabeth, his mother, says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And so, blessed is Mary, because Mary believed in God's promises, even though the Blessed One, Mary, would be cursed by many around her who would not believe her. Can you imagine? So, Mary, you're not married yet, and you're pregnant. So, you say that you're still a virgin, and you're actually carrying God in your womb? The Son of God? Sure, Mary. Now, we can almost laugh as we imagine people's reactions when being told by an unmarried, pregnant young teenager that she had done nothing wrong and was carrying the Son of God in her womb. But the reality was that her reputation was destroyed then and there. And she no doubt shed many tears over the insults that people would have leveled at her. The joys of being chosen by God as the humble virgin to give birth to God Himself, the greatest privilege one could ever have, the greatest son one could ever have because he was the hope of all mankind, that joy and that privilege was also the crushing pain of being rejected by family, friends, and society as an immoral woman with delusional thoughts. And so more than that, her joy was also the crushing pain of knowing that her own son, her beloved son, that he came to accomplish our redemption through great suffering and eventually death. As she is told here in the next chapter, Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul, Mary. And so thus the chosen mother of God was not only the recipient of grace and joy that no one has ever received, but she would also have to share in God's own pain, like no other human being has ever had to share. And yet, Mary magnifies the Lord. And this is the section traditionally called Magnificat, from the first Latin word of the Latin translation of her prayer. My soul magnifies the Magnificat. And she prays, Mary said, verse 46, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." So at the end of the time of the judges in the Old Testament, remember when God was about to reverse the fortunes of his people and to deliver them from their enemies and from their own idolatry. As we saw this summer, as we went through 1 Samuel, in the midst of the barren land, and a barren nation, Israel, a godly barren woman, shed bitter tears in the tabernacle of the Lord as she was praying for a son. And God heard her prayer and gave her a son named Samuel, destined to become the prophet, the priest, and the judge of Israel, who would restore the word of God to the people and deliver Israel from their enemies. And so as his mother Hannah sang praises to God, we read in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, our Old Testament passage for this morning, that Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord." Also could be translated, "My heart magnifies the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." And so Hannah's prayer in the Old Testament, used by Mary in her own prayer, is at once thanksgiving and prophecy. It is simple and yet majestic. It is probably a compilation of liturgical prayers, and yet it is it's highly personal. It displays both the justice and the mercy of God. As the Lord brought life out of a dead womb, Hannah also magnified the Lord like Mary, and she became the type of the greater mother of a greater son to come in the future. And so thus, 1,000 years after Hannah prayed and magnified the Lord in His grace and exulted in His salvation, 1,000 years later, another lowly servant of the Lord, another lowly maidservant of God, not barren, but a virgin, uses that very same prayer, the structure of the prayer, even the words of the prayer, to express her joy and gratitude for the ultimate deliverer who had come. And so as Hannah exulted in the Lord and rejoiced in His salvation, Mary also magnifies the Lord and rejoices in God her Savior. As Hannah said, "The bows of the mighty are broken and the feeble bide on strength. So Mary says that the Lord has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. As Hannah had said, that those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. So now Mary says that He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty." And so as God broke through the darkness of Israel of old in 1 Samuel, which was barren in darkness and oppressed by their enemies, ruled by corrupt judges and under corrupt priests, and He has once and for all now broken through our sin and our death, bringing His Son to come into the world. And so Hannah and Mary praise God because He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servants, and He has brought to us and to all humanity the ultimate deliverer. The God that Hannah and Mary praise is the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God who remembers His people in their needs and afflictions and gives Himself out to rescue them. And so we read in verse 54, "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." He remembers His promises. Already in the Garden of Eden, He said that He put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel," He said. Later He told Abraham, "Behold, my covenant is with you, Abraham, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations." He said later, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand is on a seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And so in referring to this passage, Paul says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. And Paul says, it does not say "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." And so indeed, in His mercy, God was fulfilling His promises from the garden, from the father of faith, Abraham, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Verse 56, "And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.'" Now, according to God's commandments in Genesis chapter 17, all children of the covenant were to be circumcised on the 8th day. The 8th day was the day of new beginning, the day of new creation, the new day, the Lord's day. And at the time of the New Testament, it was already an old Jewish custom that the children would also be named when they were circumcised on the 8th day. Practice that came into the Christian tradition later as children began to be named when they were baptized on the 8th day. And the Jews often would give a name associated with their own ancestry. But in our narrative here, the angel, remember, from last week, the angel had commanded Zechariah that the child had to be named John. Now, the name John means God is grace, or the grace of God. the name of the forerunner of the Lord could be associated with nothing else than the grace of God, which goes before His anointed. The grace of God announced through His own forerunner and herald through repentance. The one who bears the grace of God in His name is the chosen forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord, and the one to come in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, as we read back in the book of Malachi. Malachi 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." These were the last words of the Old Testament, the last words of the last prophet 400 years earlier. And here we're told in the New Testament that the one coming in the power and the spirit of Elijah was John the Baptist. Here in the first century, there was no legitimate king in Israel. The prophets had been silent. The priest Zechariah had been silenced by the angel when he did not believe the promise. But now God has spoken. He has spoken in the Son who is already incarnate in the womb of the chosen virgin. Now God has become incarnate. The final word of God was speaking louder than ever in His own Son. And now He takes upon Himself the office of prophet, priest, and king. And the priests and the prophets can speak again. Zechariah thus is able to speak and speak the name of the forerunner according to the word of the prophets. Now, John the Baptist, as the forerunner of the Lord who came to preach repentance and to turn the hearts of the people each to one another and to God, he is also a type of the church. For we ourselves are called to be salt and light in the world and to call the world to repentance. For the kingdom of God is at hand, as John the Baptist said. We also, as John the Baptist did, testify of the light that has come into the world, as John says. And we also preach baptism for the remission of sins. We also, like John, named after the grace of God, we also bear the grace of God to the world as we prepare the way of the Lord. And so, having heard the annunciation, now having witnessed the visitation, having sung the Magnificat, we now come to the last section before the birth of Christ, the section traditionally called Benedictus, also named after the first Latin word of the translation of Zechariah's prophecy. Blessed, as he says, Benedictus. As the tongue of the priest is loosed, the prophecies about the Lord and His forerunner come forth. But the first half of the words that he speaks concern the Lord, not His own Son, but the Lord. For the priesthood, again, is speaking. And it speaks first and foremost about the Lord who has come. And so verse 67, "And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us, he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days." And so the words of Zechariah echo some of the themes Mary had already expounded concerning the deliverance and of God's deliverance of his people and God's remembrance and fulfillment of his promises. As with the words of Zechariah's own wife, Elizabeth, who blessed the mother of God, now the priest also begins by blessing the Lord God of Israel himself. The same Holy Spirit who filled both Elizabeth and Zechariah blesses through them Mary and Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is blessing the new Adam and the new Eve of the new creation for our redemption. And so now, having blessed the Lord God of Israel, Zechariah turns to speak of his own son And he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And the child, John the Baptist, grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. Again, from the book of Malachi, we read, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And so God's promises in his Son and even in his forerunner were being fulfilled, for the forerunner had come and the Lord himself had come. The forerunner, like the church, prepares the Lord's ways to give knowledge of salvation to people, to the world, in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of God. And so with the coming of the forerunner and of the Lord, as we read here, the darkness was passing away and the day of that eternal light was coming as the sunrise, says Zechariah, was visiting his people from on high. As we read in the Psalms, Jesus is that sun which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens in its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Jesus is the light of dawn coming from the east, the east where man had been exiled from the garden. And he comes from the east to shine again and bring us back to the promised land. He is the one who comes to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As we read in Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord for His good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north, from the south, where those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and in chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He humbled their hearts with labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distresses. He brought them out of darkness. He brought them out of the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. For He has shattered the gates of bronze and the bars of iron He has torn asunder." Psalm 107. As God said through the prophet Malachi, "For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness," Son, S-U-N, "the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." Malachi chapter 4. And so the same God who brought light out of darkness in creation and caused His light to shine in the womb of a virgin, as the Spirit was hovering over the waters of the new creation, God was bringing about a new creation for our deliverance from sin and from death. And so as the fall began with a woman and spread to a man and through them to all humanity, so now redemption begins with the lowly woman who bears in her own womb the new man, the second Adam. And through him, redemption and eternal life come to all who belong to Him. Through the Mother of God and the forerunner of the Lord, God was bringing salvation to a dark world. Now, as one of the early church fathers put it, the elderly Elizabeth gave birth to the last of the prophets, and Mary, a young girl, to the Lord of the angels. The daughter of Aaron gave birth to the voice in the desert, but the daughter of David to the strong God of the earth. Elizabeth gave birth to Him who reconciled people through repentance, but Mary gave birth to Him who purified the lands of uncleanness. The elder one lit a lamp in the house of Jacob his father, for this lamp itself was John, while the younger one lit the Sun of Justice for all nations. He who was to baptize with water would proclaim him who would baptize with fire and with the Holy Spirit. The one filled with the Spirit would proclaim concerning him who gives the Spirit. And so, beloved, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is blessed among women, who all generations will call blessed, we also cry out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble state of his servant." As she is also the type of the church, the pure virgin bride who bears Christ to the world, blessed is also the church among humanity, and blessed is the fruit of the church's womb, Jesus. We also are blessed who have heard and who have believed the word of the Lord. For a soul who has heard and believed has both conceived and bears the word of God and declares his works. And so, beloved, let the soul of Mary be in each of you, so that our own souls magnify the Lord and rejoice in the God of our salvation. Amen.